Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all hearts, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Welcome to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking, your host tonight. And tonight on Revolutionary Life, we are going to be exploring the concept of what it takes to build a great civilization. And the title of this presentation, guys, is War, Conquest, and Enslavement as a Methodology, it seems, for building, quote unquote, great civilizations. We're going to examine that tonight. And, you know, there's an old maxim, old saying, that whatever it takes to get her, that's what it takes to keep her. Whatever it takes to get her, that's what it takes to keep her, they used to say. Well, if you build great civilizations using this method, war, conquest, and enslavement, when times get hard, you might have to resort back to what it took to get her. And so we examine what we're doing today, civilizations, as well as what we did in the past. And you tell me if there's a correlation. You tell me if there's an association. You tell me it's still going on. This is Gary. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. Here's where we discuss issues that affect our lives every day. Difference is we approach them from a revolutionary point of view. And again, revolution is just change, guys. Change is constant. It's going to happen. A reactionary is someone who tries to hold back change. Maybe they're benefiting from the way things are. The revolutionary realizes that things are changing and just simply wants to be on the vanguard of that change. You know, when you're on the front of something, you might have something to do with how it's shaped or how it ends up. You may have some say. If you come in behind it, you won't. Today, we keep our fingers on the pulse around here. This is Revolutionary Life. So we look at our society, the way it is today, the way it got here, the way it was in the past, and the way it got here today. And what it's going to do in the future may be predictable. Based on that, we'll see. When I come back, guys, we're going to explore the building of great civilizations, war, conquest, and enslavement is our title today. I'm going to give you a little music. I'll be right back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. Tonight, guys, on Revolutionary Life, you know, we're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Monday through Friday. And unless you follow, and there's a follow button right there on our site, guys, that you can walk up, you can stroll up and hit, you won't be able to, well, you'll be able to keep up with the episodes. Maybe even get a little head start. Sometimes not so. Sometimes I have to come up at the spare of the moment based on time. However, it's always going to be good, guys. It's always going to be revealing, hopefully. And hopefully some knowledge in there, some education in there, some reaffirmation of things you already understood, but you just heard them from a different point of view, that kind of thing. You're going to love it. Tonight, and we hope it's useful to you, tonight, our title of our presentation is War, Quest, and Enslavement, and the Building of Great Civilizations. Now, I want to start this off by letting you know, guys, heads up, I'm not a professor of history. I teach, yes, but I don't teach history. I teach some parts of history. I teach an overview of the history of the subject that I teach, of course. But history in general, world history, I learn in school. And I went to public school. So I'm uniquely qualified, I think, since I graduated. So I'm uniquely qualified in a way, on a level that some others may not, in speaking to the building of great civilization, the history of the building of great civilizations from public education point of view. You might have got your education somewhere else. I don't know. And you may be able to straighten me out on some things if your education is more extensive than mine. But I'll tell you what I was taught, what I was told and sold through my primary and secondary education in this country, in this school system, this federal, state, and local school system. And so, like I said, correct me if I'm wrong in any of this history, guys, but here we go. So tonight, I learned in school, and you may have as well, to revere certain, or to look to and revere certain civilizations as great civilizations, right? Certain individuals that helped usher in these civilizations as great individuals. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's begin with the Greeks. I was told in school about a man called Alexander the Great. We were told in school that he was called, and we were to call him. They didn't even give us his last name. We were to call him Alexander the Great, and what made him great? Well, they told us in school that what made Alexander the Great great was that he conquered the known world of the time. That's great. I was told that that was great, that this man conquered the known world. All right. There's certain things that I did not learn about Greece in that explanation. Number one, I didn't know that Alexander the Great was not Greek. I learned later that he was Macedonian. But he fought for the Greeks. He led the Greek army. Him and his group of Macedonians led the group army, the Greek army, on these conquests of the known world. And so I was told in school that Alexander the Great was great. Why? Because he conquered the known world. Well, guys, Greece was a slave society. I guess that's why you could have a Socrates and the like, because Greece, because the work was being done by slaves. Greece was a slave society. Its economic substructure, all its institutions and wonderful buildings and ideology and thought and philosophy, et cetera, science that it gets credit for. Those are institutional, those are superstructural, but its economic substructure, how it made its money, its wealth, was through war, conquest, and enslavement, free labor. And so I later learned that war was not so great. A lot of people died. A lot of violence. So Alexander was great because he was engaged in wars. Well, maybe somebody was attacking Greece and they had to fight back. I understand self-defense. But then I found out that most of the countries that Alexander, most of the places Alexander the Great conquered on behalf of Greece had no beef with Greece. In fact, some of them didn't even know such place called Greece existed. Didn't matter. It seems that Alexander rode his army into their country and took it on behalf of Greece. This is called conquest. What is conquest? How it comes from the word to conquer, does it not? So I had to do a little bit more study than what they told me in school to find out what does conquest mean. Is that a nice thing? No. I found out that conquest is conquering, overpowering others on a personal level, getting past their defenses, overpowering them, however, and on a national level, on a country-to-country level. Alexander the Great conquered other countries. That simply seems to me to mean that he rode into these countries, announced that you, this country, announced to the people there that from today, starting today, their country and all the resources in it is under the control and ownership of the king of the nation of Greece. And they planted the Greek flag on these people's countries. Not only did they do that, they brought Greek culture into these people's country. They also brought their language and their religion into these people's country and made it a Greek culture in these people's country. Not only did they change their religion and language to Greek, they also oftentimes would insist that they did not speak their native tongue, that they only speak Greek or some form of it, and that they worship no god save that of the Greeks. If you did these things in a Greek society, you would be accepted after conquest. You might get a good job. If you didn't accept these things, if you didn't speak Greek, if you didn't accept the religion of your conqueror, the best that could happen to you is you could just go poor and hungry. The worst that can happen to you is you could be killed, ostracized. And so if you wanted to survive under conquest, you learn to speak the language of your conqueror. And you learn to accept your conqueror's culture. That includes their religion. If you wanted to negotiate this new environment, a country that's now conquered by another, under the control and power of another. And then enslavement. I found out that this great society, Greece, with this great man, Alexander the Great, who conquered the known world, was a slave society. I understood that its economic substructure that held that society up, how it made its money, its wealth, was through enslavement of the people they conquered. You see, when they go into a country and conquer it, all its resources are gathered for the conquering country. So if Greece conquered Egypt, then Egyptian resources would flow back to Greece. But not part of those resources were people. Part of those resources were people. Part of those resources became slaves in Greece. The people you conquered became the workers, the miners and whatnot of Greece. Those marble statues, somebody worked in the marble mines to make the stone for the great Greek statues. Guess who that was? Guess who worked in the salt mines? Slaves. So yes, Greek was Greek became a great civilization, and to this day, in my history book, Greece is still considered a great civilization and possibly the Western Europeans' first great, recognized great civilization in my history books. And so we see that what this means, a great civilization in Greece meant war on other civilizations, conquest of other countries, and enslavement of their resources, which includes their people, on behalf of the conquering country, Greece. A methodology for building great civilization seems to have begun in earnest in Western Europe, among Western Europeans, with the great Greek society and Alexander the Great. And I'll talk about Egypt and Alexander in another presentation, guys. But you know, Alexander had a teacher along with him on these conquests. His teacher was Aristotle. And it was Aristotle's job to hustle up all of the knowledge of these conquered countries. Papyruses, books, scrolls, and funnel that information back to Greece. Greece is accredited with a lot that it received through conquest. Now, the problem with conquest, we'll find out later as society progresses, but they built a great civilization. And so, the Greeks built a civilization on slavery, war and conquest. And guess what? In my school, the next great person that I was told to consider great, the next society that I was told to consider a great society, a great civilization that contributed to human history, was Rome and Caesar of Rome. When I come back, guys, we're going to shake out Rome. And let's see how they did that. Great civilization building, I mean. We'll give you a little music. And I'll be back on this methodology for building great, quote unquote, civilizations. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. And tonight, guys, keep in mind, Revolutionary Life is here every night, every weekday night, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Just about every night, we got a different subject, guys. So you want to follow my page, I also have a Facebook page by the same name, Revolutionary Life. So there's some interesting things on that page. You might want to trip over there, check that out. In the meantime, tonight, we're talking about building great civilizations. And I told you that I had a public school education. And in there, they told me about Western Europe, development of Western European civilizations, Western European history. And one of the figures I were to revere and to remember and to be prepared to put on test that came after the study was Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great. And that's how we refer to him in the text. Alexander the Great. Right? And so I told you before I left here that once I did a little study about Alexander the Great and the great Grecian Empire, I found out that, number one, Alexander wasn't Greek. He was Macedonian. And number two, that Greece was a slave society built on war, conquest of other people's property, and enslavement as a methodology, it seems. Well, Greece was invaded. It suffered war and enslavement. Yes, it did. But you visit upon others. Be careful. It might be visited upon you. The Romans walked into Greece and committed war, conquest, and enslavement. They just didn't go into Greece. I understood from my teachings in public school history that the Romans conquered the known world. So the next group famous for conquering most of the known world was the Roman Empire. And that Roman Empire committed war, conquest, and enslavement throughout Europe. Greek fell under its control, as well as most of Western Europe, France, Spain, Germany, England, Britain, all of it. The Romans, the Caesars of Rome, I was told all about the Caesars, Etu, Brute, all about the Caesars. I had to learn about the aqueducts and the great developments and the great achievements of the Roman Empire. But when I looked a little bit deeper into how did they build this empire, I learned about the great Roman army that marched across the world, the known world. I realized that the culture of the Roman Empire was spread throughout the known world by the same method the Greeks spread theirs, through war. Most people became Roman and accepted Catholicism later in the Holy Roman Empire. When it arrived in their country on the tips of Roman spears. That's right. That's called conquest. When you conquer a people, then those people are now obligated, it seems, to accept your language. So you will find in Europe Latin-based languages in places where there were none before the Romans. You will find in Europe a preponderance of Christians and Catholics where there were none. Because when you conquer a country, just like the Greeks conquering other countries. When you conquer a country, the demand is that you speak that conqueror's language if you want to survive in that society now that it is under the power of your conqueror, you learn that language and you accept that culture, which includes culture includes several things. One, religion. Another, language. You will find that Spanish, French, Portuguese, even German, and English, of course, all Latin-infused languages. Now, because they chose to infuse it, it would arrive to them on the tips of Roman spears. And when the Romans took your country over, you learned what the Romans wanted you to learn. And if you didn't, you could not survive in that society. But if you did, you could get a job. You could move up into it. If you spoke like the Romans speak, if you practiced religion like the Romans practiced, like your conqueror practiced, you could be accepted. If you didn't speak the Roman tongue, if you didn't speak some method of Latin, which the church called vulgar Latin, the attempt to speak Latin by all these conquered people, didn't come off quite like the High Latin of the church. So they refer to it as vulgar Latin, French, Spanish, and the like, Portuguese. And so they became Romanized, as what you will do when you are conquered or you won't survive. Now, I'll talk to you guys at another time about groups of people who refuse to be conquered in these countries. That's going to be interesting. In Spain, I will tell you about the Basque people and others, Maroons in Africa and other people who were able to escape conquering. But those who didn't became Romanized, Latinized, Latinos. They're from their language to their religion. And guess what, guys? Rome was a slave society, just like Greece. So I was told in school to uphold Alexander the Great and the great Grecian Empire and their achievements. Then I was told how great the Roman Empire was, and the aqueducts, and the Colosseums, and the great works of the Romans, and Caesar of Rome, and the great Caesars, Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar. Yeah, I had to learn all this stuff, guys, because these were great civilizations in Western European history. But when I tried to figure out how they were built, it seems they use the same methodology: war, conquest, and enslavement of people. Slavery being their economic substructure that held them up, how they made their money, their wealth. The oppression of other people, slaves, for their labor, no more. And so I held up the, so I learned all about Caesar and Rome, and I learned how they did it, and it looks to me like they did the same thing that the Greeks did, that Alexander the Great did, rode into other people's country, planted their flag, and told those people that from now on, this country belongs to Caesar, and everything and everybody in it will give their fealty, loyalty, and resources to Rome. And Rome became a great civilization as a result of the extraction of people and resources from the countries that were conquered. That's what I learned after reviewing what I was taught in public school. War, conquest, and enslavement. Now, that was a period called, that's referred to in history called savagery and barbarism. There's a period in history that it was referred to in social history. Karl Marx, for one, mentions it. An era of war, an era of savagery and barbarism. Barbarianism. Beating people over the head and taking what they have to make your country great. Now, that was Rome and Greece. But what about the development of society? What about when society begins to develop higher and we had kings and queens? Aha. All of a sudden we have a feudal system with feudal lords that's supposed to be more progressive than just savagery and barbarism and conquering and war. But what happened under the feudal systems of kings and queens and royalty? Did this practice continue? We'll talk about that when we get back. I'm going to give you a little bit. I'll be right back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. And this is Gary speaking. Welcome. Tonight's show here on Revolutionary Life, we're discussing war, conquest, and enslavement as a method for building great civilizations. I'm not proposing the method. I'm exposing the method. It seems that I was taught, and everybody who went to my public school, I guess, we all had the same book in the same grades. And so I guess we all was taught to revere certain great men and great events and great societies and great civilizations. One of them I was taught in public school was great, was the Greek society and the contributions of the great Greek society and for Greek philosophers and scientists, etc. And then I was told that Alexander the Great was to be credited for Greece's great development. Why? They told me because he was known as having conquered the known world. It wasn't until I had to look up the word conquered. It wasn't until I understood, old enough to understand what war looks like. And then enslavement, I learned that Greece was a slave society. So I had an idea of what slavery looked like. And so Greece, as a great, quote-unquote, great civilization, got that way through a methodology that it seems that's been repeated all throughout history and Western European civilization building, empire building, of war, conquering peoples and enslaving them. That whole period was known as a period of savagery and barbarism. Then kings and queens came along, and we had a period of history called feudalism as a way of organizing societies and civilizations. Feudalism, kings and queens, royalty. I ask you, was this practice continued under feudalism? War, conquest, and enslavement. Did the feudal lords, did the feudal governments, did the feudal kings and queens and royalty build their great civilizations using this method? Why wouldn't they? If they was taught what I was taught, that Alexander the Great was great because he conquered the known world. And Greece was great because of it. The resources it took from those conquered people, including the people as slaves, and that Rome followed suit. If that's your training, if that's your education, I guess it makes sense that you'd do the same thing if you wanted to build a great civilization. These people were great. Caesar was great. So why wouldn't the kings of queens of Europe follow this example? Seems to have worked to some extent for these previous civilizations. Well, they did. They did so much so that the Tsar of Russia, royal family of Russia, the Tsar of Russia, Russia's king is called a Tsar, C-Z. A-R. Well, do you know what the word czar translates into in English? The word czar translates into Caesar, just like Caesar of Rome. The king of Russia wanted to be called a czar, a Caesar. Do you think he was going to try to do what Caesar did after having named himself Caesar? You don't hear me. In Germany, the king of Germany wanted to be called a Kaiser. Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany. They wanted to be called Kaiser in Germany. Do you know what the word Kaiser translates to? Caesar, like the Caesars of Rome. Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar. Russia had a Caesar, a czar, he named himself. Germany had a Caesar, a Kaiser, he named himself. So I ask you again, what do you think? Do you think the history of Greece and the history of Rome influenced these royal families? You bet your ass they did. And they proceeded to try to build their civilizations in the same methodology. They call it colonialism, colonies, colonizing other, not conquering other countries, colonizing them. Sounds a little bit more passive, not as aggressive as conquering them. But that was the goal. In fact, guys, there used to be a saying, the sun never set on the British Empire. There used to be a saying, and that saying went, the sun never set on the British Empire. Why do you think that is? Why do you think they said that? They said that because everywhere the sun was shining, it could be night somewhere else, but everywhere the sun was shining, Great Britain owned a piece of, if not all of. They had colonies around the world. The United States being one of, what's now called the United States, was one of them. India. India never had a middle class. It was raped by Great Britain. Most of the known world. I'm supposed to look up to the British Empire as something great. And the Queen of England, and the kings and queens of England. But when I look at the methodology they use for building their civilizations, I find that the process remains the same. Committing war, conquering people, and enslaving them. Everywhere the British went, war followed. Conquest followed, and enslavement followed. The greatest empire was a slave society. Oh, in the feudal times, they may have called them serfs, but they owed everything to the king, including their daughters, including their life, their sons, if there was a war. You owed your fealty and your loyalty to the king. And all the land belonged to the king, so you owe that to the king also. And these kings called themselves Caesars after the Roman Empire because they were about to do the same thing as the Romans did, war. They were going to build their civilizations through taking other people's property and including those people. And enslaving them. The British Empire. The sun never set on it because wherever the sun was shining, Great Britain owned a piece of. It owed its fealty, its loyalty to the Queen or the King of England. The British Empire. And so, guys, war, conquest pursued. Actually, ensued behind these colonial possessions taken on behalf of a conquering nation, a colonizing nation. And the people of those countries were enslaved for their labor, and their resources were taken back to the mother country, the conquering nation. Sounds familiar? Greece did it. Rome did it. Why wouldn't the kings and queens of Europe with that lineage do it? They had learned the process for building great civilizations, war, conquest, and enslavement. The colonies that the British conquered in Asia, Africa, Latin America, all had to do the same thing every conquered nation has to do. They had to accept the English language, and they had to accept the English culture in general. They had to accept the English language and its religion. If you were a conquered country, you accepted the English tongue. You brought your children up in schools where they were taught the English language and told not to speak their native tongue. There were nuns who would slap them on the wrist in the school if they caught them speaking their own language and tell them, we don't speak that garbage in here. We speak English in here to your children, until many of them forgot their native language. Many of them forgot their native religion and their native culture. After generations of conquest and colonization, it's called. It was called today in recent times. We all know the stories, guys. King Leopold of the Belgians in the Congo, taking properties on behalf of Belgium, of other people. Now keep in mind, they told their populations, who may have been upset about the fact that they had to commit war on these people and they had to conquer these people, they would not say that out loud. Things have changed now. We're not savagery anymore. We're not barbarism anymore. We're gentlemen. And so they told their people they were going to Africa to spread the three C's. And what are the three C's? Commerce, civilization, and Christianity. And their population funded their efforts. And colonialism spread throughout the world. Not just the British Empire, but the Germans had colonies, Belgians had colonies, the French had colonies. You never heard of French Indochina. You might be too young to have ever heard of anything, any landmass referred to as French Indochina. Today, those conquered nations, those colonized people, those enslaved people, those people who war was made on, are Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, all known as French at one time, Indochina. Why was it French? Because French conquered the place and took its resources, including its people, back to France to enrich the French. Spain, with this 16-year-old teenage queen, sat on a throne made of gold. Where did that gold come from? It came from war, conquest, and enslavement in the New World. This methodology for building great civilization seems to have caught hold in European civilization building methodologies. It wasn't war, it wasn't savagery and barbarism anymore. It was called colonialism. And you were under the protection of the queen when they took your country. And if there was any people there, they told their population, oh, these are just savages. They're not really people. They're running around half naked. They're savages. It's just like the animals of the forest. Don't pay any attention to them. This land is open for anybody. As they raped and burned villages and enslaved the people of those villages to build great civilizations to mine gold and other resources to take back to Great Britain. Now, I talk a little bit about this, guys, in my presentation on immigration and how when all you got to do is look at the immigrants and you can tell what country were oppressed and colonized by the immigrants in your country. If the French are upset about the number of Algerians in their country, or Laotians, or Vietnamese, if the Germans are upset about the number of Africans in their country, or the number of England upset about the number of Africans in their country, well, when you step on an anthill, sometimes those ants crawl up your leg. That's all I can say on that. So did this process end once we had the Industrial Revolution and machines and factories and people going to work for a living rather than having loyalty to a king or queen? When we moved into the 1800s and we had machines and factories and every man could be a king. Every man could go out and make it. Every man could own property. Capitalism was here. Was there any more need for savagery and barbarism? Was there any more need for war, conquest, and enslaving of people? In the 1800s, in the great industrial revolutions of Europe. We'll talk about that when we get back. Did the new Europe, the more progressive Europe, did it continue this process, or did it die down with savagery and barbarism? You can answer that question. I'll be right back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on Revolutionary Life here at Blog Talk Radio, tonight our subject is war, our subject is conquest, and our subject is enslavement as a method for building great civilizations. And I ask you, has anything changed? Has this methodology survived from the times of savagery and barbarism through the feudal period of kings and queens? Well, let's take a look, guys. When I left here, I was talking about Great Britain and conquering the sun never set on the British Empire. Everywhere you looked on the globe, Great Britain owned a piece. They had conquered a piece. They had taken a piece. They had declared a piece to be Great Britain that once was not. And they did it through war, conquest, and enslavement. And I told you I had to look up what those words meant, and I had to understand how these civilizations were built, because I was taught in school that these were great civilizations and to be looked up to. Greece, Rome, Alexander the Great, Caesar, Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar. But as I did my research, I found out that these were all slave societies, that they built their wealth off of war and conquering other people and their property, including themselves, people, as slaves, not to mention their resources, and taking those resources back to Greece or to Rome. That's how they got to be great. And then I find out that, of course, the kings and queens of Europe followed suit. They thought they were trained in Greece, in Rome. They were educated in Alexander the Great and the great Grecian Empire. And they were educated in Rome and the great Caesar and the great Roman Empire. That's what their education was. So when they became kings and queens, they did the same thing to others. I told you that the king of Russia is called a czar. I told you that czar translates to the word Caesar. I told you that the king of Germany was called a Kaiser. And I told you that Kaiser translates to Caesar, just like the one of Rome. Give you an idea of the mindset of these rulers, these powerful people who ran countries? No. War, conquest, and enslavement continued. Not only just the British, but the French, with Napoleon Bonaparte. Also, somebody else I found out was not French. He was Macedonian. He wasn't French. He was from a place called Corsican. He was never French, but he fought for the French, and he led the French army. Excuse me. Spain came over to this side of the world and proceeded to do the exact same thing the Romans had done to Spain. The French was doing the exact same thing the Romans had done to the French, conquered them, made them speak a Latin language, made them accept the Latin philosophy, religion, culture, and they did the same thing to others. You know, if you're abused as a child, they say you're likely to abuse others. They say that people who abuse others likely were abused themselves. That's interesting. But if you were trained that the great people of the world were those conquerors, then if you wanted to be a great person and you wanted to have a great civilization, I guess you had to do the same thing. And so, the King of England was taking colonies in the 1800s, and 1700s, 1800s. And in the 1700s, the late 1700s, one of its colonies was this country, America, what you know as what they call the New World at the time. King George of England owned this piece of property. In fact, he had 13 colonies set up in this piece of property, and those colonies' job was to do what every colonist's job is, to gather resources to send back to England, to Great Britain, to the king, including its people. That's right. Native Americans were shipped to England. Africans were shipped to England. They were put on parade and circuses and that kind of thing. And so America was a colony of Great Britain. So the colonialization of other people's lands did not stop. Same methodology. And guess what, guys? Once the American colonies achieved their independence through a war, right? Revolutionary War from England and became its own sovereign nation. Guess what it engaged in to build that nation? Let me say war. Conquest of the native population and enslavement of its people. And if there wasn't enough locally to enslave, they imported slaves. Just like Greece, just like Rome, just like the feudal period, here we go again. War, conquest, and enslavement as a method for building great civilizations. And so now the United States of America is such for no other reason, pretty much, than that it followed the same game plan. Guidelines, methodology, process that it has been taught. I guess you can't blame the colonists, the new American independent colonies, because if they was educated like I was in public school, we held up these slave societies. Greece was held up as a great civilization. Well, if it was held up to us, it was held up to them as children in their educations. Rome and Caesar was held up as great society, as a great civilization in Western European education. So when these Western Europeans came over here as part of an English colony, they were practicing the same thing, colonizing, conquering other lands for the benefit of the home conquering country. Nothing changed. And so what did the Americans do once they became independent? They turned on the native people of this country, and there were Indian wars. You all know about that. There were Indian wars. There were trails of tears. There was a conquest. There was slavery in this country. The Americans didn't think of slavery on their own. They didn't think of making war on the native population on their own. Some Americans went down as history as great Indian fighters, like Buffalo Bill was known as a great Indian fighter. While he was still alive, they used to put on circuses and performances showing him shooting Indians, Native Americans, they call them, Indians. Buffalo Bill, Indian fighter. Indian fighters were held up. Why? Because there was war against the native people. They occupied property that was wanted, quested for by the conquering, the new conquering nation. And so we had years, hundreds of years of slavery in this country, not because the Europeans who came here thought of it. They were educated in it. They were trained in it the same way I was, in their school systems, in their educational systems, in their communities. They held up Greece, the great Greek society. They held up Rome, the great Roman society. They all wanted to be Caesars, czars, Kaisers or Caesars. If you're raised in that environment, then that's how you build great civilization. So when they built America, it follows that they would use the same process that they have been taught was great. This is how it's done. So I will just bring this to a close by saying to this day, this country has been at war. And we'll talk about that in another presentation, but I'd like to go through those wars with you at one point so you will see what I'm talking about. But this country has been at war since the day I was born. Since the day I was born, we as a nation was in a war of some kind. If it wasn't Korea, it was Vietnam. If it wasn't Vietnam, it was next thing we know, I don't know. It was desert, we got Desert Storm. Next thing you know, we're in Afghanistan. War has been going on. And then not to mention local wars, wars against drugs, wars against this and that, unsuccessful wars. But wars, national wars, the Mexican-American War. I like to talk to you about Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico. The Mexican-American Wars. Oh, yeah. We brought war, baby. And we brought conquest, this nation did. To this land, and we brought slaves, enslavement as an economic substructure to hold the society up. Has it stopped? We've been at war since I was a kid, and probably since you, we've been involved in some conflict somewhere. Problem is, guys, is there's an old saying. They used to tell me, whatever it takes to get a woman, that's what it takes to keep her. Whatever you did to get her, that's what it takes to keep her, right? Well, I got news for you. Whatever it took to get this country, they often will revert back to those methods in hard times to keep this country. And so we can expect that as things get tougher, we can expect all the lawful language to disappear and we return to war on somebody, somewhere, conquering those people and their resources for this country. That's right. Halliburton is still in Iraq. You left, but U.S. businesses are still there. Royal Dutch Shell is still in the Congo. Oh, yeah, the Congo is independent. Oh, yeah, King Leopold is long dead. But Royal Dutch Shell survived. Anglo-American Diamond Company in South Africa still exists long after colonialism is over. So we still, until and unless, guys, we develop another method by which to build great civilizations. War, conquest, and enslavement of others will remain the modus operandi. This is a call-in show, guys, and we are at that point now where call-ins are being accepted. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. My lines are open. I am going to open my chat room. And those people who would like to put something in the chat versus coming onto the air or whatever are free to type whatever they like in the chat. I will try to respond to whatever. And the same thing, if you call, you go straight onto the air. Everybody will hear what you have to say. Everybody will hear my response. This part of my show, I say it's your time to shine. It's out of call-in section, guys. Let me give you a little music, and you're free to call and or write if you have something to say about the subject. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's a time when we look at everything that affects our lives, directly and indirectly, but we look at those things from a revolutionary point of view. And tonight, we've been talking about war, conquest, and enslavement as a method for building great civilizations. Tonight, I told you, my public school education told me that great civilizations were like Greece and Rome, the great empires of Great Britain and France and Germany. Yes. War, conquest, and enslavement, I asked, have we grown out of that as a method for building great civilizations? And I told you, they used to say, whatever it takes to get her, that's what it takes to keep her. So when countries hit hard times, don't be surprised if they revert back to war, conquest, and enslaved men to save that society, whatever it took to build it. That's what it takes to keep it. Germany, not ancient Germany, Germania, not Germany before Napoleon, broke up in little pieces. No. The 1930s, the German Empire changed as it went down into poverty. As times got hard, the German Empire fell back on, reinstituted war and enslavement to save its society. Hitler, Germany, used the exact same methodology as the Caesars of Rome, as Alexander the Great of the slave society known as Greece, the Hellenistic ones. Yes, Hitler just used the same playbook, guys. He committed war on other people's countries. He took those people as slaves and put them on concentration camps. And he conquered their nations and brought them under control of Germany, Poland, Czechoslovakia, everywhere he could reach out with his army. No different than the way Rome did. Most people learned the Roman language and the Roman religion when it arrived in their countries on the tips of Roman spears and swords. It was forced on them through conquest. Most people learned Christianity. Most people learned Catholicism when the Romans showed up. Most people learned Christianity and what is the opposite of in this Anglican church ideas of Christianity. We'll talk about the Anglican offshoot and the protesters and the Protestants at some point, guys. But Germany did the same thing. Don't tell me they didn't, because every concentration camp that Germany built, Auschwitz, Buchenwald, every concentration camp that the Germans built had a factory attached to them. And some of the international corporations you know today used to be just small German national corporations. But after Hitler, they became international corporations, because they had free labor, baby. That's how it's done. That's how the Greeks did it. Their economic substructure was slavery. That's how the Romans did it, because their economic substructure was slavery. That's how England did it, because its economic substructure was slaves and serfs and colonial peoples and the colonials, they called them. You remember Leopold? If you didn't dig gold fast enough as an African in the Congo under Leopold, you got your hands cut off. Slavery. We know what happened in this country. The same process. War on the native population. Conquest of the native people. And slaves brought in to do the work as an economic substructure of this nation. For centuries was built on free labor. We didn't think of it here in America. It's history. They got the same education I got. Alexander the Great was great. Greece was great. Rome was great. How did they build their greatness? War, conquest, and enslavement. So that must be the way to go. Everybody did it. The czars of Russia, the kaisers of Germany, the kings of England, and France, and Spain. War conquistadors, conquerors, And so they did it in America. They just followed suit. And then in the 1930s, when Germany got poor and desperate, it introduced the same policy. Let's make war. Let's conquer nations. And let's enslave their people in German concentration camp to make Germany great again. MAGA Germany. Make Germany great again. That process hasn't ended, guys. I told you. This country has been at war since I was born. It was a war. We were engaged in wars from the day I was born and before, of course. The list of wars would blow your mind if you understood how recent and how often this nation were engaged in military conflict for the sole purpose of conquest and enslavement. The stealing, the strong arm robbery. When you take something from somebody physically, it's called strong arm robbery. Or armed, once they got weapons, if they got weapons, it's arm robbery. Well, they robbed the native people of this country of their land and resources. They robbed, the Spanish robbed the Caribbean and Central and South America. So did the British and the Germans. And their civilizations became great. But great based on what? How? By what methodology? And when times get hard, will we revert to a new war? A new area of conquest and enslavement? My lines are open. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. And my chat room is open. I'm saying we got to figure another way to build great civilizations that doesn't include these barbaric behavior. Or we're going to have to keep it up, because whatever it takes to get her, that's what it takes to keep her. There are civilizations in history of the world that were great, that did not require the extraction of resources from others. It did not require war on others who you had no beef with. You just wanted their property. Like somebody walking into your house and saying, from now on, this house belongs to me and all the resources and people in it are mine. I'm going to take everything over to my house that I need out of your house, including some people to do some work for me. That's conquest. And I don't know what religion you teach in your house. I don't know what language you teach in your house, but from now on, it's going to be my language and my religion and my culture in this, in your house, in what used to be your house. How about that? You listen to Revolutionary Life. We're in our call-in section. And our chat room is wide open, guys. So anybody got any comments, concerns, questions, put it in the chat or give me a call. We'll talk about it. Thank you. You're listening to Revolutionary Life tonight, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. You're listening to Revolutionary Life, guys. Tonight we've been talking about war, conquest, and enslavement as a method for building great civilizations. And I told you my education gave me the understanding that that was how it was done. So since the greatest figures in my education were those who built great civilizations, my history education was about civilizations that were built on slaves. How about that? And I suppose to hold these things up, it's great. And I ask you if this stuff has stopped, where you take countries by riding into them with your armies and declaring its property and its people is now possessions of the mother country, of the conquering country. Some of those countries fought back, but they lost against the Roman army or the Greek army. Many of them died fighting for their homelands, which was subsumed under the Roman Empire or the Greek Hellenistic empires or the British Empire or the Germans or the French or the Spanish conquistadors, conquerors. The people of Central and South America spoke Mayan, their culture Mayan, Aztec, not Spanish, not Catholicism. Today it is, for no other reason, folks, than this methodology. War was made on these people. These people were conquered by Spain. And conquest means you accept our culture and you get rid of your own. Now, if you're an archaeologist, if you're a historian, you run into this problem where you find ancient texts, where you find ancient architecture, where you find ancient engineering and sciences, and you ask, who did this? And you ask, what is this language and where did it come from? And who were these people in this civilization? They're lost to history. Primarily because they succumbed to war, conquest, and enslavement. So those people who knew of those ancient civilizations, those people who could read those hieroglyphics, are dead and gone. Because when you conquer, baby, you dispose of your culture. You hide your culture. you push your culture down and you accept the culture of your conqueror or your colonizer. Man, I know guys who were Italian and they were raised in Italian families. And then when they came to America, if they spoke Italian, their parents would slap them upside the head and say, you're in America now. Don't talk that mess in here. Speak Italian. Speak American. And so they hid their culture. They got rid of their culture. And in some cases, they defamed their own culture. They destroyed their own culture. They let it go. They looked down on their own culture. They was told their old culture was superstitious and backwards. Their old religions were superstitious and backwards. And they were given a new language and a new religion to replace their own by their conqueror. And those who accepted that new language, they made it. Those who didn't were destroyed. And so if an archaeologist happens up on a stone with writing on it that it can't read, nowhere in that area can they find anybody who can read it. You can just chalk that up to war, conquest, and enslavement, of building great civilizations. We destroyed the very ones that we're now trying to dig up again and figure out what they knew. It was buried under conquest, for the most part, and diluted the parts they accepted of these conquered nations. If you're an African-American, you know. If you have come up as an African-American in the United States, you know that the better you can speak English, if you can speak English like an Anglo-Saxon, almost they can't tell the difference if they're on a telephone or something. A door will open for you. If your religion is that, if you're a pastor, a minister, if your religion is that of the European that you were taught, if you're practicing it well, then doors will open for you. If you don't speak English properly, they think you are either an idiot, you're dumb, or you're being rebellious. If you don't dress like us, if you don't go to our churches and accept our religion, and if you don't speak our language the way we speak it, you're rebellious. And doors will close to you. So if you're an African American in this country, you've learned to speak the English language, especially around Europeans, the way they speak it, and better in some cases, because you know that opens doors for no other reason, not because it's a chosen language. You were a slave. You were a conquered people, and conquered people have been doing this since the days of the Greeks and Romans. They accept the language and the culture of their conqueror. And I told you, there are certain groups of people who didn't accept that, and they were persecuted. One day I'll tell you the story of the Carib Indians and their refusal to accept Christianity. They had a religion. The Maya, the Inca, the Aztec, they had a religion before a Spanish man ever stepped on these shores. They didn't need a religion. They weren't asking anybody to bring them a religion, commerce, civilization, and Christianity. But they had to accept it once they were conquered or die. I'll tell you the story one day of some of the chiefs of some of these tribes that refused to accept Christianity. This story was not told by me, not told by a friend of mine, or anything like that. This story is written down, and it's an account written by a Jesuit priest. You see, people followed the conquering armies for the purpose of converting them to the religion of the conqueror and denigrating their own religion. in the process, in their own language, etc. This process has not stopped. It continues, guys. And whenever shit get hard, we go into another war. I'm going to chronologically break down for you in some of our presentations how every time we hit a Great Depression, or this country trips and falls economically, a war starts. A military-industrial complex kicks in. And we get back on our feet. Because whatever it takes to get her, that's what it takes to keep her. Unless we can come up with another way, unless we can find some other examples of great civilizations that were built in other ways other than conquering other people, other than militarily, wars, conquests, and enslavement of others to do your work for you, to create value for you. That you don't share with them, or you share as little of that value as possible, that they help you create. That's slavery, not chains, baby. Debt can be slavery. Question is, what happens when I help you create value? And then when you return with the money for that value, you keep most of that, if not all of it, for yourself. Then you're delivering the product of a slave. A Slav, where the word came from. So unless that changes, you can expect this country to enter into another war. Oh, yeah. Right now, we're over there fanning the flames of China and Taiwan. We're in all up in their business because we want military bases or somewhere near China. That's all Taiwan is good for, and as soon as they recognize that, the better. Other than that, that's China. Always has been. Still is, bottom line. So we're over there messing with them now. Do we really want that war? I don't know. They tell me one out of every five people on earth is Chinese. I don't know if we really want that war. Maybe we need to find another way. Maybe we need other examples, other models of building great civilizations other than Greece and Rome. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. And we'll be here tomorrow night at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, if you came in late on this presentation, an hour from now, this presentation will be available because all of our presentations are archived. That is to say, they're on demand. And so if you're at my site, simply stroll down and you will see those older shows. They're there by topic. And if you go back and find the topic on immigration, I'll go through some of that history. And you'll hear some of this and that history, some of this war and conquest in that history. Because many of these countries who are arguing about immigrants are arguing about immigrants from the very countries that they colonized. I told you, if you step on an anthill, don't be surprised if ants crawl up your leg. So thank you again for listening in to Revolutionary Life. And I sure appreciate it, and I wish you'd be here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock because we'll have a whole nother subject, guys. And you'll be able to call in. This is a call-in show, and you'll be able to respond in our chat room if you like. Thank you again for listening to Revolutionary Life. All right, we're winding down tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening in. Tonight's presentation was on war, conquest, and enslavement as a methodology for building great civilizations. Maybe it's time for change, guys. It's got to be a better way. I want everybody to make sure you tune in tonight, tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I will announce the topic of the next meeting on my webpage, my Facebook page by the same name, Revolutionary Life. And if you follow this program, if you go up and click that follow button, you'll be able to follow this program and get a heads up on what the subject matter is of the classes and the presentations that we have here. And don't forget, it's a call-in show. So at some point in all of our presentations, we cut it off and we open up the lines. And so you'll get a chance to comment on the air or in our chat. Thank you again. This is Gary signing out. Revolutionary Life. Thank you.